Let's do a podcast.
Let's
do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte. Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller, and this is episode 241. John, what's on this week's episode?
So this week we speak with Tracy Ahomey, co-founder and executive vice president for Samaritan's Feet.
Then, and I will add in, we just did the interview. She made a couple puns at the end. Top because of that, I would say she is one of my favorite guests of all time and probably one of your least favorite.
Oh, don't say that.
You hate puns that much.
No, not that much. Not she she was way more fun to talk to. So much so that I would allow the puns. So that did not
Wow.
That's how great. That's high praise, right?
Right? What else is on this week's episode?
We debut. You came up with a new segment. Miller, look at Miller tweaking with the model here. So we're very proud of Miller, aren't we, folks?
Thank you
for coming up with a new segment. Please clap. And then cheers and jeers is what we will end with.
Thank you, Jeb. Some quick business updates. So you can listen to us on any podcast platform. Please rate or review us. It makes us feel better about ourselves. And as you can tell, our egos are already very, very tiny. You can follow us on social media at CLT Podcast. And last week we had a great episode. I would say a return of an in-person friendship. One of my favorite episodes we've ever done, John.
It was fun.
We sat. I don't even remember what we talked about. It was just like we just talked.
I know. I just got a stream of consciousness. We just kind of blacked out for a little bit.
And like, I don't think we said anything too horrible because we have not received any negative reviews.
Oh, that's nice.
Some quick updates as well. We're going to stick to biweekly. I think it's going well. We're probably going to keep to Zoom. You'll see tonight is Zoom. When it comes to guests, just out of ease currently with scheduling, things like that. So it has changed how we podcast. It has made things a lot easier on our end. Obviously, we know the audio quality isn't as high, but when we weigh it out, it makes sense. With that said, we will be going back in person for select episodes and together. So you'll get to hear the sound of crickets when we sit outside together and John drinks a White Claw. With those episodes, we're willing to talk about anything. I think what really worked was we just kind of hit on a bunch of stuff. So if you want us to touch on something, you want us to talk about anything, send it to us. I believe we haven't set our email address in a while, which is thecharlottepodcast@gmail.com. John,
we're open for business, baby.
We're open for business. John, you've mentioned three times your racehorse. What is your racehorse?
It has nothing to do with Charlotte, but
because that stopped us before.
Yeah, true. I own an NFT racehorse now that I race in virtual horse races, and his name is Marchand, and he won his very first race, and I've been chasing that dragon ever since. But
how much money have you sunk into Marchand?
All in net of his winnings, I'm probably down like $8, something like that. Just because he won his first race, I was very excited about that. And then I paid the entry fees, no dice, but I'm still very proud of him.
Speaking of NFTs, when are you ever going to push out our NFT episode?
Yeah, I need to do it soon, hopefully.
Yeah, you kind of trapped yourself there.
Yeah.
Well, when we get back, we'll be talking to Tracy from Samaritan's Feet.
The Charlotte Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
All right, we are here with Tracy Ahomey, co-founder and executive vice president for Samaritan's Feet. Welcome, Tracy, to the Charlotte Podcast.
Thank you, Miller. Thank you, John. So happy to be here tonight.
Well, we're pumped to have you on. I guess we'll start with you. Before we get to Samaritan's Feet, but tell us your story. How did you come to be involved in the Charlotte community, and how did you come to get here, and how is Samaritan's Feet involved, and take us from the beginning.
Yeah, so I have been in Charlotte now. Let's see, we are on our 25th year. So what brought us to this beautiful community that has raised our family and has also raised us from early 20s to, you know, little older 20s now. As you can imagine, you get up there in age when you live in this community and love it so much like we do. But honestly, my husband, after his master's program, got a job in IT and software here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we were in the Midwest. And so that was November of 1994. And when you're in the Midwest in November of 1994, anywhere and everywhere sounds wonderful and warm. So we took that job offer. I used to book corporate travel for a large entity that got absorbed into Oracle. And that's what brought me into Charlotte. We had an office here as well. So had one beautiful daughter then when we moved, and we are now three daughters in and one son as our last. So we literally raised our four children here, and also birthed our ministry called an organization called Samaritan's Feet International in 2003. So started in the corporate world and continued on until we were called out to do something more for our community, and not just our community around the Carolinas, but our global community. And so that's a little bit about what brought us here. We have been in South Charlotte and in the same home for 20 of those years. So we believe in legacy, and our children have all been growing up in our home and lived in the same home. And so, you know, the wear and tear of having three boys, John, you can imagine four adults now and husband and wife and all of us, you know, going through the path from elementary to college and beyond. So it's all good.
You give me hope that it's possible to make it.
Now, Tracy is a new resident of South Charlotte. John visited me for the first time last week. He got to experience the bliss of white picket fence and whatnot. Do you have any advice for me? If you're thinking one advice for someone who just moved to the area, I live kind of around the Arboretum. What would you recommend?
Oh gosh. You know what? When we first came, there was not all of the great apps and social media opportunities and just getting involved, you know, from the Charlotte Agenda that used to be to now it's Access Charlotte. But there's so many great opportunities to engage in your community. And I think the biggest thing is get out there and see what our city has to offer. And there's so much from South End to Ballantyne to Rock Hill, mm-hmm. all the way to Monroe. There is something for everybody, and there's something in our community that hits the niche of everyone. And we have become such a much more diverse and progressive community than we were in the 90s when we first moved here.
Now, I will say, you mentioned the social media apps, the Facebook group for our neighborhood, not the most positive place. Surprising. Not. You mentioned your ministry in creating Samaritan's Feet. Take us through how that came about and kind of, you know, where it is now.
Oh, gosh. Do you want the abbreviated, or do you want the, we're going to be on the podcast for hours.
Let's shoot.
Start with the short one. And then as Miller knows all too well, like
John will interrupt you and
to ask questions. So let's start there. And then, we'll go 2-3 hours from there.
That's perfect. So just a little bit of background. My husband, as you know, and when you introduced me, my last name is Unique. My husband was born and raised in Nigeria and came to the United States on a basketball and academic scholarship in the late 80s, early 90s. And so when that happened, he had some great scholarship opportunities, which brought him to the wonderful, wonderful state of North Dakota. And I know everybody listening has been there because it's just a destination. But I do say that in jest, that we have the greatest people in the world that live in the Midwest and the biggest hearts. And so he came to our community and from that developed a friendship and a relationship, got married, brought us to North Carolina. And during that time when we were, you know, living the American dream, and especially for my husband coming from another country, being an international student, being an immigrant, as our country is all about, he had the opportunity to go back home about 10 years after we had been in the Charlotte area because his dad had passed away. And as you know, going back to your childhood neighborhood, even your childhood home or country, you see it through different eyes. And so buried his father. And that's another long story for another time. But looked around him at the home that he grew up in. And he grew up in an area called Roe Park in Lagos, Nigeria, where there was sports courts, basketball, volleyball, you name it. And one of the jobs that he had at the age of 9 was selling minerals, which minerals in other countries is water and soft drinks. And saw these kids playing a game, and they weren't kicking the soccer ball. They were bouncing the orange ball that was a basketball. And there was a group, a missionary group from the great state of Wisconsin that had come to do a VBS and a sports camp with individuals in that community. And Emmanuel was selling these spirits and minerals to people in the park, wanted to play this game of basketball that they were dribbling and shooting. And all the kids were shooing him away, you know, basically telling him, hey, you need to get out of here. You don't belong here. You can't play. And he somehow, when you get to meet my husband, he is a very persistent and determined individual, somehow got himself into the game. And first shot that he takes, now listen, I'm saying this secondhand because nobody was there to verify his story, but he will say that the first shot that went in, there was, you know, it was great. It was swoosh, went in, no problem, never played the game of basketball before. And it was this great moment in time for him. And so out of that, Dave, he was super excited. The prize at that time of that shooting competition that he won was a pair of shoes. And so a pair of shoes in that area, in that community, in that village, in that part of Lagos, Nigeria was almost unheard of, not just in his family, but in his community. He was one of 8 children, the first boy born. And so what eventually happened was he was super excited. He couldn't wait to get these pair of shoes. He got this pair of tennies. And like we have experienced with Samaritan's Feet, because as you do or don't know, we provide shoes to children all over the world. Emmanuel put the shoes around his neck, super excited to run and was ready to take off. And Dave grabbed him by the shoulder and just encouraged him and said, hey, Emmanuel, you know what? I know, because everything that you see around you is poverty, doesn't mean that you've been forgotten, doesn't mean that you aren't valued, doesn't mean that you don't belong. And so parlay that back into the fact that that opportunity and the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, his dad passed away 10 years after we were living in Charlotte when he had to go home, and he passed away from cirrhosis of the liver because he abused alcohol. And so for Emmanuel growing up, that became his escape, was going back and remembering that Dave gave him that pair of shoes, remembering that opportunity to play basketball. And at that time, if you are a basketball fan and you watch the Hornets, which we have to love because they're in our city and we have Cody Zellers and we have some other great players and we just love sports, right? But at the time there was this great team called the Houston Rockets, if you remember. And if you remember Hakeem Olajuwon. So at that time he was the, just like Charles Barkley with the Suns, right? That was that 90s time with 80s, 90s great players. So Emmanuel had an opportunity to connect with the same coach, and he helped him with those scholarship offers, which brought him to the United States, which took him an opportunity to play basketball, which took him an opportunity to get an education and an advance, which brought us to Charlotte, but then also took him back home. And again, back to the home where when we go to our home state and our houses that we grew up in, they look a lot smaller, they feel a lot different, and you open your eyes with adult eyes to actually realize, wow, I grew up in this. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, help you to hustle or help you to realize that you have to rise out of some situations. He saw for the first time after going back 10 years when he had to bury his father that somebody has to do something about this. There's still kids that are walking around without shoes, that are not going to school, that are not being able to play sports because they don't have proper footwear. And you know, when somebody puts that something on your mind that you're that piercing in your heart to say, this is an injustice, someone should do something. A lot of times that's for you to be doing something. And that's sort of short version, guys, of how we stepped out and said, you know what, if this is the piercing that we're supposed to be doing, if this is the calling that we have, we need to step out and do something about it and put our money where our mouth is and take that step of faith. So short version of that, come alongside with some of that. I grew up in the Midwest, small community, small town, similar to what Rock Hill used to be before we have all this great opportunity for growth that's happened around our city. But you know, when you grew up in a small town and there's the haves and the have nots, and I went through a childhood where there was a lot of lack, lot of love, but a lot of material lack. And so out of that, I've experienced that big brother, big sister program. I've experienced standing in line for the government cheese and the powdered milk. And so because of those opportunities to make something out of our misery into an opportunity to serve and bring a message of hope to others. That's the short version of how we have birthed Samaritan's Feet. We started out of our garage here in Ballantyne. And to date, I'll give you guys a little precursor that there'll be some big news coming on Monday. We have secured a bigger home and a bigger garage within the Charlotte community and have just closed on our purchase of our building from June 30th. So we'll be moving into our new building by the time this is probably out there to the public in September 30th, we'll be having a big grand reopening of our ribbon cutting ceremony in our new building off of Statesville Avenue. So from one garage to a much bigger garage, we are super pumped of what this community and our global community has been able to help us accomplish.
That's awesome. What a story. I'm curious, like what you mentioned kind of you guys' careers that brought you to Charlotte and kind of you continue to do until you kind of found the direction of this calling. How did you guys go from having the passion and kind of finally deciding this was your direction to building what you have and getting to the point where you've got a new warehouse and kind of growing it like that? Did you guys treat as a side hustle initially? Kind of how did you guys as the leaders of this organization pivot to figuring it all out, figuring out the mission and kind of executing on it in the early days?
Yeah, that's a really good question, John. I think, you know, like our community, we have such a great, and you guys, we have such a great opportunity and just from a small business and local businesses and entrepreneurship within our community. And that's really just the drive. And as you know, when you step out and decide to do something bigger, sometimes you got to keep a day job. And so we did a lot of series of different things. My husband moonlighted and consulted for some companies across the U.S. I actually, during this process, homeschooled four of our kids along the way. So we can talk. That's another story for another time as well. If you ever want to try that.
Are you able to stop time like in Harry Potter? How did you do that?
You guys probably experienced a little bit of that with your children during this COVID time.
Yes. And I also did not start international charity.
So. He just worked out of a shed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? You'd have to ask my children for how successful that story was there.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I might not be the best, objective voice for that discussion. I will say I did that. And I also did a lot of merchandising for Target, and I would go in at 11 at night and work till 4 a.m. because guess what? When you have a dream that's bigger than yourself, you got to have some side hustles to continue to make it happen. So the short answer is, yeah, we did what it took until we could get donations coming in to do what we needed to do to help others. And so part of that was the planning behind the scenes, right? And having the fortitude to plan well and save well along the way with just our normal personal finances, right? And then when my husband decided to step out, at that time, I was back home with my children. Because as you guys know, once you have more than two or three, it starts getting really cost prohibitive to be working full time unless you have a phenomenal income stream coming in. And so I was at home. We just had our fourth child. Excuse me. And my husband had a chance encounter with his boss. He worked for a company that there was a lot of young adults. And so the VCs that helped to fund that company saw that there needed to be some gray hair. And so my husband's boss was one of the people that brought in some new individuals. And one of those individuals that was a little bit more gray haired and seasoned than my husband wanted that job and wanted to bring his team in. And so gave my husband an opportunity to switch, make a lateral move or step out on this journey that he had continued to talk about with, which was Samaritan's Feet. So we had went away to Charleston. Excuse me, guys, had an opportunity to just pray and seek what we were supposed to be doing. And we just said, you know, we have this much saved. We had about a year of savings put away. If we could maybe get another 6 months saved, I think we can make this go and really stretch our dollars as long as possible. Well, wouldn't you know, that was a Saturday. We got home. My husband called me at noon on Monday and said, hey, Jay, which was his boss, just let me know that they're going to give me 6 months severance since today was my last day. And so talk about, you know, coincidence. It's up to you if you see that as coincidence or just the faith that it's, we're going to push you out of the boat if you're not going to get out and do something about it.
Yeah.
And, that's really the catalyst that pushed us to say, okay, you're comfortable. You can continue to serve. But for us, it was, you're serving to your comfort level. You need to serve beyond what you think is you're capable of and beyond your comfort level. Because great things don't happen when we're comfortable, and hard isn't available if you're not willing to work and hustle for it real, real well.
Now you've grown it to something that's incredible, a new space, and congratulations on that. What's next with this new space? What will you be able to do with the organization?
Great question, Miller. Thank you. So, you know, one of the unique things about this space is we're looking at about close to 80,000 square feet of space. And so that includes warehouse space where right now we probably bring in about 15,000 volunteers a year through our space. And so being able to, and that's just because of capacity issues, being able to bring in more people to serve in a greater capacity is going to be huge. Just put it into context. We are right now just from this Q2 of 2021, right? We have served 151,000 internationally. We have just in our distributions around the US done about 23,000, 24,000. We track against our million shoes every year. We try to get to a point where we're getting a million shoes out until we can continue to count to zero. And just in that alone, that's 227,000, you know, put it into context, things that we're going to be able to do in the warehouse. We've served in 43 states, 450 US cities, 108 countries. To date, we've done over 8.3 million shoes since our inception in 2003. So that gives us a lot more lives that we're able to impact because our warehouse is three times our size right now. We have rental space available for people like us that started as a small startup and a small garage, but had big dreams and big vision. And so we'll have some co-working space, a leadership institute, opportunity, like I said, for volunteer engagement, a shoeseum that's actually going to be, if you think around, you know, we have people that take off their shoes from Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson on TNT to Coach Cal for, you know, the Kentucky Wildcats to, you know, you name it. We've had Steve Smith, when you've seen him with the Panthers, when he was with the Panthers, take his shoes off during the end of game that was in representation and in support of Samaritan's Feet. And so this shoeseum is going to be a neat, unique experience where we have people from all walks of life that are going to gift us their shoes and their story so that we can have people come through in our Charlotte community as a destination to showcase what we do. And so that's another unique opportunity for people to be involved in a different way. And then we do a lot of things with our World Shoe, which is the first of its kind that has a micro additive put into the mold that keeps and repels foodborne diseases. And so that's another opportunity to do some micro manufacturing across our footprint, which includes a lot of our international offices. So what's next? We have senior shoes. As you guys know or may not know, in about another 10, 15 years, we're looking at 30 to 40% of our population being senior citizens. And so we have a senior shoe program with AmeriCorps and SeniorCorps and coming in and being able to and partnering with Sanford Health, which is an organization out of South Dakota, to be able to provide fall resistant shoes for seniors. That's a population that is, we've seen during COVID, as you guys know, there's a lot of isolation in that. And so being very intentional on how we serve that community within ourselves too. And so answering all of those questions, there's several things that we can do with this.
Yeah. It's incredible. Like everything you listed, and I would encourage people to go to your website, which is SamaritanFeet.org. And you can just see at the bottom all the numbers that are constantly tabulating and things like that. So the impact's there, and how I think the kind of the wrap it up and put a bow in this conversation is how if people are see this and want to get involved, how can they do that?
You know, the best way is just what you said. Go to our website and fill out opportunity to serve. One of the biggest ways right now and a big need. We have so many phenomenal women in our community
we need people to be a part of our Women Ambassador Program, and that helps our footprint in two ways. It helps our footprint across the U.S., but it also helps our footprint globally with being able to help provide containers all over the world.
One last question. Are you meaning to say footprint as a pun? Because if so, I applaud you and appreciate it.
Listen, I knew Miller was going to say that. I knew it. I noticed that too. And I was like, please don't say something, Miller. Listen, so here we are.
Tracy, you really stepped in it there.
Whatever. I appreciate you. Appreciate you noticing that, Miller. Thank you.
I'm here for you. Kindred spirits. Well, thank you so much. This has been fascinating, and certainly please keep us in the loop as you grow and as that celebration. We want to let people know how to get out there and be a part of it, and then just continue to help this great cause you have.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And you know what? Whatever we can do to make sure that we're getting your names out there for the awesome work that you do within our highlighting people within our community and organizations, we certainly want to be a part of that too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
We're back, just John and Miller. What a cool organization and cool story. Yeah,
I really appreciate, like, Shazoo, you had the long or short, and the short had some substance. You gave enough detail exactly. That, like, John Short, noted questioner of all things, was like, I am satisfied.
That's right. I was like, I have no questions. I yield my time, sir.
Oh man. I'm excited to see that space and how they're using it. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's super cool. I love the idea of the kind of Hall of Fame and just featuring shoes. It's just, I don't know, it's a cool concept, and they've been able to do so much with just like a glimmer of, hey, this is how we're kind of like called to make a difference. And there's so many cool ways they've figured out to deliver that mission. So very excited for them and to see how they're able to develop that space.
Yeah, for sure. I think using, like, that's just incredible how they're looking to lift up other nonprofits. But speaking of lifting up, this is a horrible segue because it makes no sense. So I'm just going to push through it. We have a new segment. It is called Charlotte News We Find Interesting. And the goal of this is, I think every week or as we go through weeks, we'll just kind of bookmark things that we think are funny, interesting, that we'd like to talk about, that we may not have time for a full episode we can't really talk about on social media because it needs a little bit more in depth, but it's just a way for us to talk about stuff relatively quickly. I think they're shooting for like 1 to 2 minutes per subject.
May I ask you some questions about this?
No, you may not.
So what's kind of the goal? I'm curious, like, how is this calling this a segment different than the normal podcast?
Oh, I think it's something we're going to be consistently doing.
Okay, so we're setting aside the time to make sure we hit on kind of current events.
Yeah, and I think also we both have a lot of different interests when it comes to Charlotte. Like, I care a lot more about city government, things like that, whereas you care about, I don't know what you care about. miniature racing digital fake horses. But I think that I think it'd be fun for each episode, we can try it out, where we just run through quick current event stuff.
Okay. Just making sure that we set aside time to hit on that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
First, Jumpman Invitational.
Yeah. What is that?
that was my job, was announcing that, but it was something the Charlotte Sports Foundation, my new employer, is bringing along with Jordan Brand. I think Hornets are involved, ESPN events, but it'll be a multi-year, potentially a legacy event for college basketball coming to Charlotte in December of 2022. It'll feature the four original Jordan Brand, both basketball and football schools. So UNC, Florida, Michigan, Oklahoma. And what is truly unique about it, and I've spent a good amount of time researching this, is I think it's the first of its kind in that it is featuring men's and women's equally throughout, from where they stay to where they're playing to how they're being featured on TV. So super excited about it. I think you are much more of a hoopster than I am. What are your thoughts about it?
Oh, it's awesome. I love any and all like college hoops in Charlotte. I feel like it's tough to compete with the Research Triangle area, Raleigh-Durham situation with college hoops intensity, but I like to think Charlotte's got the infrastructure to host some just, cool stuff like
that. Did you just call it the situation? Did you just shorten situation?
Yeah, I don't have time to say that whole word. I mean, it's great. I think Charlotte has a surprising legacy of hosting Final Fours, or like
there used to be called the North South, which was like North Carolina plays South Carolina, like NC State would play Clemson. It was like there's like a bunch of legacy of these events.
Well, and there's like we did history one time on that like Pistol Pete game. It was like Clemson versus LSU, right? There was like 25,000 people at the old Coliseum to watch that game. So it was just like a non-conference game. But just Pistol Pete's like North Carolina connections is just massively attended. So that's the legacy of Charlotte. And it's cool that we have the infrastructure in Charlotte to put that stuff on. And like, I don't know, Jordan and Jumpman and all that is something that is
big freaking deal.
Take advantage of
too. I mean, we joke about the airport enough, but it is a big thing when it comes to this. There's direct flights to all those schools. That makes it very easy for them to
come. Oh, yeah.
Next is Lake Norman Poop Spill. What is this, John?
Yeah. So I'm not even really sure why.
Isn't it poop spills? Now there have been two of them in the exact same space.
There's two times that poop has like spilled into Lake Floated. Norman. It's just funny that it's what terrible timing, right? It's like Jaws except poop, where like the mayor is trying to keep it open. It's like, no, it's not 4th of July weekend. It's like,
but it's just like, again. And it's like, we'll go to new builders, building. Right? It's not like a government failure. It's like private builders accidentally keep letting poop out.
I know the second time was because they were like boring for fiber optics and they just like wound up hitting a sewer line and like all of a sudden, boom, like 20,000 gallons of raw sewage just sitting where you're trying to jet ski. So I don't know. I don't mean to laugh about it.
I think it's
like,
it's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny in the height of summer. You don't want poop in the water, folks.
Is it a cracked crown?
I think it's got to be at this point. Like, I don't know. Yes, it is.
Notorious Crack Crowns nominee is our next thing. The Gold Line, they're saying, will be done by the end of August.
Very excited.
This podcast is a fan of the Gold Line. Yeah. We think it'll do a lot for the area, the big asterisks of what does CPCC do with their land around there. But I think you, as someone who will be directly impacted, you're pretty pumped about this.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. I mean, I'm very fortunate, and I've said, made no secret on the podcast that I personally reap the benefits of the Gold Line streetcar just based on where I'm fortunate to live and work. I think it's super cool that it's finally going to be here. And I hope everybody can set aside their snarky comments and, I don't know, try to use it and think about ways to use it to like spur, I don't know, growth in uptown. And it's gonna be a rough couple months for uptown coming back and nightlife and all that, and so hopefully people coming down to park and take it into uptown for a nice night out might be a new thing to do. So
I'm waiting for the first like organization to create an actual, well, fake, but create like a, try to do like a social media like trolley problem and use the trolley to do it. There's something out there. That's not even half baked. That's like a quarter baked, but there's a joke out there somewhere.
Keep digging, but sure.
Earl's Grocery's closing. I mean, I know it's sad for you. You live there. They had a good bond me, but.
Wasn't that your favorite sandwich in Charlotte? That's why I put it on there. I mean, for your wife's at least.
I think it was mine. I like that bond me a lot, but that was back when I didn't have a cultured palate. Also, I'm not a big sandwich guy, so like it's a pretty low bar for me. I think probably my favorite sandwich in Charlotte right now might be the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Wow. One of our recent guests would not be happy with you for saying that.
Trying to think who that would be. Which recent guest?
Because you're sending your money to Popeye's HQ rather than keeping it here in Charlotte.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, it's a good sandwich. Anyway, I mean, I did... I don't know. I really liked Earl's. It was kind of a place that I, again, because of like where I live and work, could frequent. And I enjoyed having it in the neighborhood. So I just want to give it a little shout out. I think, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic, something cool, hopefully local, like a Rhino Market or Common Market. We'll pop in there and take over the space. But.
I think ending optimistically, Memorial Stadium opening. Now, I want your game report in a bit, but I think it could be really big for Charlotte, especially if you look at, you could then, that becomes where you host, you know, football, high school soccer, things like that. You could really start to invest in more of high school sports, and it's kind of built perfectly for that, as well as the other professional teams we have. But that's where I'm eyeing it is, how do you, Charlotte doesn't have that perfect size outdoor space for a high school jamboree or something like that. And I think this could be it. So you went to a game. Give me what your thoughts
were. Yeah, I went to the Charlotte Independence game on Saturday, this past Saturday, their first kind of weekend home game. It was like the stadium itself is awesome. Like it was so great. You get like a game starts at 7, so like the sun sets in the summer, like while you're still there, it's beautiful. I don't know. I guess it wasn't really delayed. So yeah, worth the wait, I'd say, in terms of waiting for it to be done. But they did such a nice job. The concourses are huge. You can still see the field from the snack bar, basically. It's just really well done. And I totally agree with you about like high school sports and just like those events that need like a special place.
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect for that.
For sure. Also concert video.
I'm excited to see like what people come up with to host there, and hopefully it's jam-packed and fully utilized, and that's the goal of the Parks Department has had for it, and hopefully we can fill it up.
I think sky's the limit for that space. It also has a ton of history, so as fans of history,
which they did a great job. I know that being in some of those meetings sometimes contentious with the Elizabeth Community Association and the Parks Department early on, like when this was a plan that they were proposing, that came up frequently. So I thought, all things considered, they did a great job kind of preserving the history of the stadium. And like I and my take then and now is that the best way to preserve the history is just like make it an awesome place. Like Ric Flair like came down in a helicopter for SummerSlam
I love the segue you just did. Let's just go ahead and segue. Cheers and jeers.
Right. Okay, go for it.
Did you mean to do this?
No, I was going to rattle off like 9 more things that were cool that happened at Memorial Stadium.
We've done a history segment about that.
okay.
Our cheers is we found a no context Ric Flair Twitter account.
Yeah.
Which, have you followed yet?
I have, yeah. I haven't noticed a ton, but I did start following. That was
it's great. It's been very
I'm a fan
good.
Of like, I'm a fan of the conceit of just like no context XYZ, something that has a lot of content and taking it out of context. That's a good conceit for me. It always cracks me up.
That was a good Twitter find. Jeer was actually went to South Boulevard and had lunch over there today. And that place is a madhouse with all the construction, and it continues to be.
Where top did five. You eat?
Bell Acres. That continues to be.
Oh, fancy boy.
Yeah. That was a fun meeting. South Boulevard continues to be top five worst road in North
Carolina. Did you have to take a left where you're coming from? Like
no, I took a right and then went out Marsh and then went knocked out the park that way.
Because like coming from uptown and taking a left into Bell Acres, like that.
God, well, that there's no, there's now a concrete barrier through the middle.
Oh, you can't even do that? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Imagine that Chick-fil-A right there is crazy too.
Yeah, that thing's nuts. Yeah. Every Chick-fil-A, that's funny. What does Chick-fil-A have to go through with like departments of transportation? Be like, sorry, you've ruined our traffic flow. Many people are hooked on the chicken.
People ask Pete Buttigieg, which is number one issue with American transportation, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I believe it. And all you gotta do is drive down Randolph. Mayor Pete, get to Randolph.
Forget Amtrak, fix Chick-fil-A traffic.
That's right. Miller has high hopes he can fix Chick-fil-A.
That was a joke for like 5 people, and it made my heart happy. Let's end it on that, right. John.
Okay, sounds good.
Ready?
Are we going to know context? Woo.
Sure. I don't know what that means. I'm trying to think.
Me either.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Woo.
Woo.
Nice job.